Arts Center, 1310 Farm to Market, 1788, Midland. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for a child. For tickets or more information, call 432-683-4226 or visit www.hccmidland.org or wagnernoel.com.
If you're a do-it-yourselfer, don't let physical challenges limit your imagination. Each week, the guys on The Blind Handyman answer questions and offer tips on home maintenance and upgrades. The Blind Handyman, direct from Lufkin, Texas. Monday nights at 7, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday nights at 11 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 71 and cloudy. Tonight, it will be cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpey.
And I'm Pete Torpey.
The American Printing House for the Blind is the world's largest nonprofit company providing educational, workplace, and independent living products for people who are blind and visually impaired. With a mission of promoting the independence of our nation's blind citizens, APH has been transforming lives since 1858.
And in today's episode, we'll be talking about some of the resources that the APH provides for people of all ages.
The American Printing House for the Blind, or APH, Connect Center manages resources including VisionAware, Family Connect, Career Connect, Connect Calendar, and an information and referral line. And we have done episodes of Eyes on Success on some of these, but today you get to hear about the whole package. We'll be speaking with Director Olaya Landa-Villard and Digital Content Specialist Catherine Botsford. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Olaya Landa-Villard.
Our tip would be, vision loss doesn't define you. You define yourself.
And we'll be talking about a number of services that they provide that can help you define yourself and do what you want to be doing. Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired, offering the 2021 New Venture Business Competition to help blind entrepreneurs turn their ideas into actual startups. More information and submission criteria are at www.hadley.edu/NVC.
And by
NaviLens, a four-color QR code designed to be located and read from up to 60 feet away without the need to focus on it. Personal places and items can be tagged and shared with family and friends with codes obtained inside the NaviLens app, available for iPhone and Android. More information is at NaviLens.com. And we would also like to give a special shout-out to Tim Falberg, who is a teacher of the visually impaired in Wisconsin and appeared on the show a couple of months ago. And since then, he has voluntarily been helping us provide much better closed captioning for the YouTube version of not only his episode, but another one, and is working on a system to make that turnkey. So thank you, Tim, for your support.
You are listening to Eyes on Success.
Success. Success. Success. Success. Success.
Let's start by meeting Olaya and Catherine and learning about the APH before we get into their Connect Center in the next segment.
My name is Olaya Landa-Villard, and I am the director of the APH Connect Center.
I'm Catherine Botsford, and I am the digital content strategist and lead researcher for the APH Connect Center.
And I'm guessing most of our listeners know what the APH is, but for those that may not, what is it?
Ah, okay. So the American Printing House for the Blind has been around since like 1858. We provide accessible materials to those who are blind or visually impaired. You know, not just here, but also around the world. APH is, like, the way I try to explain this is we are twins, but we're not identical twins. So we have the American Printing House for the Blind, and then we have the American Printing House Connect Center, which is, we fall underneath APH, but we do serve different purposes.
And the APH is headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky, but neither of you is anywhere near there.
No, right now I'm in Illinois.
And I'm in Portland, Oregon.
And we're somewhere in between outside Denver, Colorado. So we're covering much of the country.
Yeah, which is great.
Eyes on Success is made possible in part by our corporate partners. Underwriting pairs the impact of targeted marketing with the integrity of community goodwill.
Learn more by sending an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the APH Connect Center and its various components.
In today's episode, we wanted to talk mostly about the Connect Center, which is actually an umbrella organization for a number of services that you offer. But maybe you can give us an overview of what the Connect Center is before we start and get into details.
The Connect Center is really a cluster, or as you said, it's an umbrella organization, but we're a cluster of websites and services for people who are visually impaired and blind, their families. We have three websites. They are Vision Aware. We also have Family Connect. And the last website is Career Connect.
Let's review quickly what each of those does. Can we start with Vision Aware?
Vision Aware is where we try to focus on helping people with adjustment to blindness. A lot of the people who tune into that website are new to vision loss, and they're looking for a lot of answers and honestly some hope. And so we have contributors who themselves have been on that journey, and they share a lot of their personal experiences and a lot of tips. It's a lot of pay it forward kind of work there.
We actually were named the Vision Aware Agency of the Month about 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow.
And we were especially honored because that was the first time that that award was given to somebody who wasn't actually an agency.
Wow. That is great.
That is exciting.
I know. That's awesome. And that's why we're so glad to be working with you and, you know, like kind of starting up this conversation again and making sure that we let people know about your services. Like you said, even though you're not an agency, you are providing a service. And that's what we want people to know, because any service that we can let people know about is more information and help that they can get.
And you guys do a great job of disseminating useful information to people at various stages of vision loss.
Thank you.
So that was about Vision Aware. Can you tell us what Family Connect is?
Family Connect is our channel, our website that is really focused on families of early intervention and school-age children. So we have, a lot of contributors who are parents or even teachers of children who have sight loss, and they offer a lot of really good information about ways to approach a school district for accommodations, or just ideas on how to... I'm stuck in my head right now, guys, because I've got the latest blog in my head, and the latest blog in my head is a great one about making crafts with kids who are blind, so tactile crafts around Easter and tactile Easter eggs. So really trying to help families and even professionals, teachers, get some really good ideas of things that we can do to build skills for little people who have vision impairments.
So that's a great service for children with vision loss and a source of advice for their parents. What about for adults with vision loss?
Career Connects, as you might guess, really focuses on transition and employment. And so that's a pretty broad spectrum of folks, because we have a lot of resources on there for transition age youth. So those are generally kids who are just leaving middle school and high school age people through college. And then we also have a segment of people who tune into that who are either people who are visually impaired who are trying to change jobs, or mid-career folks, or people who are employed and who are finding themselves in that transition to blindness and sight loss. And so that particular audience is kind of looking again for information of, okay, well, how do I do this in a new way? So we cover a lot of ground on those websites.
Besides Vision Aware, Family Connect, and Career Connect, the Connect Center also lists other services. Can you talk about those?
On our main page, we have the information on referral line information and information about directory of services. So the information and referral line is actually serviced by two live individuals who answer telephone calls from individuals who are seeking information about low vision and blindness, seeking information about resources in their state, in their area, in their region. Sometimes, I mean, we can get down to finding assistance that is in their neighborhoods, in their cities themselves. And so we get calls from all around the country. The information and referral line has somebody answering the phone from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. And our coordinator of the information and referral line is Alan Lovell. And he's been with APH for over 25 years. And I always joke about this, but he's like my Rolodex. If anybody is old enough to know what a Rolodex is nowadays, I mean, if you want to know something, you give that information and referral line a call. Alan will be able to tell you or find it for you or find somebody who knows the answer.
And I understand you have a directory of services that could be useful to people. Tell us a little bit about that.
The directory of services has actually been around since like the 1920s. It used to be in print, but you know, if anybody remembers what the yellow pages look like, how big. And so now everything is digital, accessible online, and the directory of services has services that are available in every state in the country. And so individuals can go in and search for services by state. And like I said, we use that ourselves as part of the information and referral line to help people find resources near them.
And also on your website, I saw a calendar. Can you talk about that?
It is a calendar that is there for the field. People can go to our website and submit events that are happening in their area. It could be conferences, it could be a meeting that people are having, some kind of get together in the community, assistance for right now we're looking at providing information about how people can get to a vaccination site, because as we know, if you're blind, you're probably not able to drive. And if you are living in a rural environment like I do, I had to drive about 20 miles to get my own vaccine. And so for individuals who don't have transportation, we are providing information about where they may be able to find some assistance in getting to a vaccine site.
So you mentioned some special services you're providing to help people get the COVID-19 vaccine. How else has COVID-19 impacted the Connect Center?
The COVID pandemic really had an impact on our websites in a way that we had not anticipated. And that being just this sudden and tremendous need for online content, mm-hmm. not only for like professional development, because none of us were going to conferences and learning stuff, but also just direct stuff for families. You know, APH itself certainly supports that and supported that and jumped right on, you know, building content that parents and teachers could use directly with children. But that also is something that the Connect Center stepped up for, was to really start providing a lot of webinars and consistent information in webinar format, so that we're building those connections, even though people can't go out and get information directly. So like you can't go to an information fair about low vision devices. You know, you can't necessarily have the representative come to the community center or to the senior center, but we're able to offer webinars where folks are showing up. So like we have HumanWare is bringing in a low vision optometrist, and they're gonna to do a presentation on kind of like, hey, what is a low vision exam? Why do you need one? What are the solutions? You know, that's going on to Vision Aware, and it's certainly appropriate for that audience. But, you know, I look at that and I think, well, you know, there are a lot of families out there who are earlier in this journey, and maybe they have kids who are dual media kids and they're doing a lot of Braille work, but maybe they also want information on low vision exams. And, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that we're able to fill that need, and that we have support from American Printing House itself and from our funders to be able to fill the need for creating online content that is live and then recorded, of course, because people can go back and check out any of the webinars that exist.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because, yeah, we have really stepped up to fill that void.
So you just outlined a whole lot of very valuable services, and we have actually done individual episodes in the past on some of those, but at the time, they were all under the auspices of the AFB, the American mm-hmm. Foundation for the Blind.
Yes.
But that transitioned a couple of years ago. What was that for?
The transition actually happened in 2018. So yeah, it was a couple of years ago. I was actually brought on in May of 2020. So I wasn't here when the actual transition occurred. However, we know that the transition occurred basically because AFB and APH kind of found themselves shifting strategies, right? So like APH is, you know, is about knowledge and learning of the individuals, and like in the field, you know, we're talking consumers, professionals, teachers, parents, you know, and AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind, was always about knowledge of influencers, policymakers, decision leaders, and employers. But AFB strategy shifted to become more focused on investing in policy and programs that work toward that, creating like stronger social systems, right? And, you know, ultimately a more inclusive and accessible society for people with vision loss. I mean, that was a big reason for AFB starting, right? And then it just kind of expanded and started creating more programs to provide services to the field of visual impairment and blindness. And so APH has always served people of all ages who are visually impaired, but had more of an emphasis traditionally on students in like the kindergarten to 12th grade range. But with the changing strategies, and you know, with us getting the websites and the INR line, those services from AFB, APH has been able to broaden and expand our reach to serve individuals who are living with blindness or visual impairment, who have lived like that for a very long time, as well as those who are newly transitioning to life with vision loss. And so we're able to really expand the services and the assistance that we can provide to the field. And that allows AFB, right, to focus a lot more on the on its influence on like research and policies that can impact people with vision loss. And so that allowed us to become the stewards of the AFB work that was done for the people that we all serve.
You're covering everything from parents of young children who are obviously starting out in their vision loss journey through adults who are losing their vision, through people's career, and then into older age when many people with vision loss have lost their vision in older age.
Yes.
Well, this sounds like a great marriage of some of those services with the APH, because when I think of the APH, I think of them having a very strong technical expertise in terms of them developing products for the blind, software and applications for people who are visually impaired. And since a lot of these services are delivered over the internet these days and through some apps, I would guess, that probably is a very good synergy.
Oh, yes. I mean, we are so happy to be partnering with American Foundation for the Blind. I think together create like a powerhouse, you know, in the field.
Now, you also have a number of efforts that are starting to reach out to students. Can you tell us in some of the ways that you've been doing that?
When we talk about like students graduating from high school, one of the neatest things I think we did was put together these congratulatory videos on, and we have a YouTube website for APH. And on these congratulatory videos, we have individuals who are successful, who are blind or visually impaired, and they are congratulating the students who are graduating from either Schools for the Blind or kids who are out in inclusionary settings who are graduating who didn't really get to participate in like, you know, mass graduation events or parties like we normally do. And so we had our, you know, celebrities from the field of blindness and visual impairment give us a 2-minute selfie video about who they are, what they do, and really encouraging our students to take life by the horns and, you know, keep moving forward, go to school, you know, or get training and show that you can be successful with being blind or visually impaired. I mean, some of the people that we had, of course, I can't name them all, but one that I'm super proud to have on the videos is actually one of our own individuals who helps us with Career Connect, and his name is Joe Streche. And he is a co-producer on Apple TV Plus's show C. And he's also worked on shows such as Marvel's Daredevil and the OA. And, you know, we're really lucky to have him continuing to consult with us on Career Connect. And it's just really exciting to hear him, you know, talking about what he does on the set of these TV shows.
We've actually had him on Eyes on Success talking about Career Connect several years ago.
Yeah, Career Connect is his baby. We still have him, but then we also have Russell Schaefer, who is the director of global culture and inclusion at Walmart. And now he is on our the APH board, the president of the American Printing House for the Blind, the board for us. We have Haven Girma, who is a Harvard Law School graduate. She's deafblind.
We talked to her, too.
So she's on, you know, those videos, you know, encouraging our students. Christine Ha.
She was on the show, too.
You know, she was that the first blind contestant and winner of MasterChef, you know, and in 2012. So we've had really phenomenal programs that we've been able to put together and some of these videos to really reach out to our students and show them, you know, how you can live life with blindness or visual impairment. I mean, that's just one of the things. We've done so many. And your listeners might want to, you know, head on over to our YouTube channel and take a look at there's 5 videos. They're about 2 to 3 minutes long. And you'll get to meet lots of successful individuals and, you know, and even see some of the celebrities that you may know.
You've talked about a number of websites, your phone referral service and other services that you've run and interactions that you've put together. This must take a fair amount of resources and staff. How is this all funded? How big is the organization?
The APH Connect Center has three full-time staff working on all of the websites and the content and maintaining the social media presence. And we also have two full-time staff who work the information and referral line, running the sites. And we are lucky enough to be able to contract with a few other individuals who have worked on these sites before. Pris Rogers is lucky enough for us that we contract with her to help us with Vision Aware.
She's been on the show too.
And she used to be over at AFB. You know, it takes a lot of us to just kind of pull in together and our love of the field and what we do. But we do have some really strong financial support from the Lavelle Fund for the Blind. We have some support from the Gibney Family Foundation. We also have a grant from the Delta Gamma Foundation Service for Sight Program. The Consumer Technology Association Foundation also has given us some support. And of course, we have HumanWare, which is a assistive technology company. And then we have Louisville Gas and Electric, actually. We have a community partner grant. So we have lots of different funding sources that pull together to help us keep the Connect Center running.
Great. That's a wide array of resources, and I hope that people look into it further and take advantage of some of those.
Oh, yes, I hope so, too.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about APH Connect Center and how to contact them so you can make use of all of their wonderful resources.
During the interview, we talked about a number of services that you offer, some websites, your referral services, and this might be confusing to some of our listeners. How do they connect with some of these?
Well, we have our information and referral line. The phone number for that is 1-800-232-5463. They can also email us at connectcenter, one word, at aph.org. And then our website that they can go to, then they can see the choices that they want to go to VisionWare. They can click on the link for that. Or if they want to post an event, they can click on that. If they want Director of Services, they can click on. So our main webpage is aphconnectcenter.org. And so that's how they can start their journey there. Just going to that website or putting a phone call or sending us an email, and we would be more than happy to help guide them to whatever it is they're looking for.
And I know you have an active social media presence, too.
Yes, we do. We have our Facebook pages for Family Connect and for Vision Aware and for Career Connect. And we also have our Twitter handle. So there's lots of ways to get to us and get the information that you need and be able to share the information as well.
And, of course, you'll find all of that contact information in the show notes associated with this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And our Eyes on Success website, now with over 500 episodes in our searchable archive, can also be a useful resource for finding out about employment, different professions, different sports, different technologies, and lots of other resources. So make use of that.
That's it for show number 2120. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the Louis voice control system. Imagine being able to fully control popular smartphone apps and functionality with just voice commands. That is what the Louis voice control system enables. We will talk with founder Pramit Bhargava, whose own vision loss inspired the concept and led to its development. You will get a chance to hear the system in action and learn how it can be used to perform everyday tasks.
We hope you'll join us next week for that episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio.
You You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Men's Health Magazine, followed by USA Today at 2.
Saturday on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's audio described movie.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Wow! I feel good.
Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ.
It's 0600. What's the O stand for?
Oh, my God.
It's Mr. Leo.
You know, this whole camouflage thing for me doesn't work very well. Why is that? Well, because you go in the jungle, I can't see you. If you're going to fight, clash.
That is not what we program here.
Surprise! Surprise! Surprise!
You are not funny.
You're not going to last long here.
Boy, do I have a surprise for you.
Good morning, Vietnam!
In 1965, Adrian Kronauer was sent to do the impossible.
I was sent here on very strict orders from a colonel.
What the hell's going on here?
His mission? To build morale.
Where are you from?
Off of Cleveland, man.
Obviously, Vietnam's not that much of a change for you.
His strategy? Keep them laughing.
If someone is not telling the truth, you say that they are full of...
His problem? Staying out of trouble.
You ought to stick to playing normal modes of music. Jim Nabors, Mantovani.
Percy Faith.
Percy Faith, good!
Yeah!
He did a very off-color parody of former VP Nixon.
Seeing as how the VP is such a VIP, shouldn't we keep the PC on the QT? Because if it leaks to the VC, you can end up in MIA, and then we'd all be put on KP.
Sure, the man is a walking keg of dynamite.
He's read unofficial news.
Ethel Merman jams Russian radar.
Hello, I've got a feeling.
What's he going to be like in 6 months?
Big dogs landing on my face.
What's he going to be like when he's 10 times as popular?
What's the weather like out there? It's hot, damn hot, hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle.
Touchstone Pictures presents Robin Williams as Airman Adrian Kronauer, the wrong person.
Very attractive man, ever saw. Don't think I haven't noticed.
In the wrong place.
This will not look good on a resume!
At the right time.
Good morning, Vietnam!
What a country. Heat, humidity, terrorism. Still, it's better than New York in the summertime.
Robin Williams, Forrest Whitaker, and Bruno Kirby star in the audio-described Good Morning Vietnam, Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 70 and cloudy. Tonight, it will be cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, and welcome to our program. My name is Peter Gilmore, and I'll be reading Men's Health Magazine here on site, into Sound Radio. And first up, the potato is back. Misguided diets and pseudo-experts have for years tried to slander this lowly tuber as a fattening food and a blood sugar saboteur. Ignore the lies. Unload your guilt. Real science stands behind the nutritional power of the potato in all of its delicious glory. First up, a field guide of potatoes. Say hello again to the russet. Size, medium to large. Taste, mild, earthy. Texture, floury, dry. Best for mashing, oven baking into fries. Next, the white potato. Small to medium in size. Taste is mild, sweet. Texture, slightly starchy. Best for baking, roasting smashed with skins on, potato salads. Yellow potatoes, very small to large. Your taste, buttery. Texture, moist and creamy. And it's best for baking,
roasting, smashing, and soups. Red potatoes. Size small to medium. Tastes creamy. Texture is waxy. And you're best for stews, salads, smashing. Fingerlings. These are small. Taste is nutty, earthy. Texture is firm and waxy. And it's best for pan frying. And finally, purple. Small to medium. Its taste is nutty. Texture is firm, floury. And it's best for salads, baked dishes, steaming, and berry smoothies. No kidding. Try it. If you want to pinpoint when the potato's reputation went from healthful vegetable to nutritional pariah, go back to 1981 and two guys, okay, they were physicians, who invented something called the glycemic index, also known as GI. This system assigned a numeric value to foods based upon the extent to which they affect your blood sugar levels. If a food has a high GI value, that food may spike these levels. For people suffering from diabetes, the spikes and the crashes that follow can be dangerous. For the rest of us, high GI foods play yo-yo with your blood sugar and may even lead to diabetes. So it goes that high glycemic foods should be avoided. Cornflakes, rice cakes, and, wait for it, white potatoes. In fact, a baked russet potato carries one of the highest glycemic loads of all, greater than a Snickers bar, Coca-Cola, and even processed white bread. Then in 2011, a New England Journal of Medicine study made things even worse by launching this broadside. Potato products, which are low in sugars and high in starches, showed the strongest association with weight gain. And so potatoes, now dubbed a high GI, high starch food by the scientific community, became an easy target for low-carb keto and paleo zealots looking to cut carbs for weight loss. Boiled, baked, hashed, smashed, and especially French fried potatoes. The slanderers charged will turn your six-pack into one giant tot. Except that nutritional science wasn't settled at all and didn't take into account certain recent discoveries or common sense consideration. One medium-sized baked potato delivers 6 grams of protein and 4 grams of fiber, as well as high amounts of bone-assisting calcium, heart-helping potassium, and immunity-supporting vitamin C, all for just 265 calories. Potatoes are affordable and available everywhere, last for months if stored properly, and as anyone who's ever enjoyed a scoop of well-whipped mashed potatoes or a al dente gnocchi knows, are deliciously different and satisfying. As for the glycemic index, experts say it has been misused and has always been applied appropriately. We tend to eat potatoes as part of a mixed meal, so we might actually eat a potato with more fiber and fat, which decreases the spike in your blood sugar. That's according to Dr. Danielle Meyer, Clinical Director of Dietetic Internship at the University of Buffalo. Once more, in 2018, when British scientists looked at the totality of the research on potatoes, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease, they found that too many studies contradicted one another and lacked detail on cooking methods. Plus, many of the reports did not account for satiety, the term dietitians use to describe staying full after a meal. The humble potato can be filling and nutrients-providing components to your meal. As a starch goes, potato contains a powerful kind, resistant starch, that your body cannot quickly break down into glucose as it does, say, with starch in white bread. Resistant starch passes through the small intestine undigested and ferments in the large intestine, feeding the good bacteria in your gut. It functions like soluble fiber, helping you eat less over the course of the day, which is one more reason to enjoy potatoes. The rib-sticking, nutrient-loaded recipes that follow will show you the many tasty ways to do just that. And here's information on how to pick and preserve perfect potatoes. At the grocery, choose potatoes that are firm and smooth, says Amanda Iverson. Avoid any potatoes that are wrinkled, have soft areas, or appear green. Same goes for those with sprouts growing from their eyes. Give them a good squeeze. The freshest potatoes feel firm. And at home, store the spuds in a bowl or an open paper bag. Air circulation helps potatoes stay fresh longer. Better yet, a cool, dark space is best, like a pantry or cabinet. Do not store them in the fridge. The starch with potatoes will convert into sugar in cold temperatures. The Great Baked Potato Topping Selector. Cooking the actual potato is easy. Poke a few holes into it. Cook in a 350-degree oven until a fork slides to the center, about 1 hour. Choosing the ideal combo of toppings is tougher. Pick one option from each of the flavor categories, and you'll create a healthy, tasty spud. Well, you want something creamy on potatoes? Well, you could add a shredded Gruyere cheese, a fried egg, cottage cheese, tzatziki sauce, or even guacamole. For a salty element, they suggest things like cooked sausage crumbles, crisped prosciutto crumbles, roasted salted fajitas, everything bagel seasoning, and finally, anchovies. I'm not too sure about that one. If you want to go spicy, hot barbecue sauce, pickled jalapenos, hot salsa, harissa, or Szechuan peppercorns. And finally, if you want something on the fresh side, my suggestions are things like charred broccoli, lemon zest, chopped cilantro, shredded Brussels sprouts, and finally, chopped, grilled red bell pepper. And here's how to make roast glorious oven fries. Potato fried in oil, okay, French fries, are delicious, but oven roasted, or smart oven roasted, fries can be just as crispy and satisfying, if you do them right. Step 1. Slice smart. Preheat your oven to 375. Wash and dry one large russet. Slice it in half lengthwise. Do the same for each new half. Then cut each fourth into inch thick pieces. A stout wedge shape allows for the greatest airflow around the potato, resulting in supremely crisp yet tender fries. Step two, season and toss. In a bowl, add the potato wedges plus a glug of olive oil, a big pinch of kosher salt, and a pinch or two of any other seasoning you want. Smoked paprika, curry powder, Old Bay. Toss until well coated. And your final step, 3. Tip up and roast. On a baking sheet, place each wedge so it sits on the base of its rounded edge. The slightly tedious, yes, to do this, but worth it for the crunchy skin and fluffy, not oily interior. Bake until the wedges are browned and tender, about 30 minutes. Now, the smartest way to cook potatoes. These do-it-all smart ovens bake, broil, toast, and air fry potatoes. And, okay, lots of other things. We test drove 3 of the top-reviewed options on Amazon to find the best. The best for the bachelor, well, they recommend the Cuisinart TOA-60, about $200. The pros, you plug it in, flip the dial to time and temp, and start cooking. Its squat size makes it easy to store. Now, your cons, if you're feeding more than 2 people, you're going to have to cook in batches. Space can be a little tight. Bottom line, this is your wing right engine. Now, if you want to feed the whole family, they recommend the Ninja Foodie Digital Air Fry Oven. The pros, Ninja indeed. This thing is whisper quiet and can slide under low overhang kitchen cabinets. The cons, it lacks the gee whiz slow cooking or dough proofing function of higher end models and can be a pain to clean. The bottom line, it's roomy but not costly. Oh yeah, the Ninja was about $230. And finally, for the kitchen pro, they recommend the Reveal BOV900BSSUSC for $400. The pros, it roasts, it reheats, it slow cooks, bakes, and even jerky fries on the dehydrate setting. The all the more you seem daunting, but the intuitive interface guides you through the any first-time confusion. The cons, well, it's a countertop hog, and the price tag isn't dainty either. The bottom line, if you cook often and have kitchen space to burn, this oven does it all. The ultimate sweet potato. Spud Love. Sweet taters. Also good for oven fries, soups, salads, and zoodles, if you're into zoodles. Sweet potatoes are actually from a totally different plant family. Morning glory, if you're curious, from the other potato varieties. Though they're slightly lower in calories and carbs, and marginally higher in fiber, there's nothing can make them nutritionally superior to your traditional potato. However, the sweet flavor and moist texture make them perfect for baking. Like in the recipe below by David Nayland, chief executive chef and co-owner of Chez Fico in San Francisco. Whatever you do, he says, don't skimp on the butter. What you'll need to make this dish? Well, one medium to large sweet potato, 2 tablespoons of butter, 1/2 lemon, and coarse sea salt. Well, you make it by you preheat the oven to 450. Place the sweet potato on a baking sheet and roast it until it begins to expel a caramel-colored liquid and the skin crisps. That's 45 to 60 minutes. Carefully remove from the oven, slice in half, squeeze the lemon juice over both halves, slather with butter, and season with salt. Feeds one. I need to take a moment here to remind you that you're listening to Men's Health Magazine on Sight Into Sound Radio. You can listen to Sight Into Sound on channel HD4 on 88.7 KUHF, channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on computer or smartphone, as well as on Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices. You can also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at sightintosound.org. We are Sight Into Sound Radio since 1967. Next, Men Health, well, explains why we lie and what we lose every time with the truth get away from us. I never meant to be a liar. Once you run out of truth, you tend to keep running. Truth, I learned, is a line. The lie is a sinker, and you're the fisherman. Your thumb on the reel lets the line go. Once the sinker drops, it's hard to reel in. And so the water gets darker, and the sinker goes down. A decade ago, when I said, I do, I wasn't looking for conflict avoidance, but I didn't know what lay under the surface. When questions came up, do we want a bucolic life or stay in the city? Were our finances better kept apart or together? I turned away and stayed silent. I started to lie so as not to cause problems. I said what I thought she wanted while quietly continuing to do just as I pleased. I started to lie more and more. First the lie, then a lie that was not a lie. Then lies rippled out as if a fly on the water. I racked up black holes of credit card debt on the sly. I dotted along with her revere for a place in the country, knowing I'd never move out of New York. With every conversation unhad, every charge unaccounted for, the bonds of our union frayed. Lies make intimacy impossible. That's according to Dr. Charles Ford, a professor who wrote perhaps the most important work in the liar's canon. Lies, lies, lies. It's about lies. Once you start ghosting truth, the compensatory lies can't help but ripple outward. That's what Dr. Neil Garrett, a neuroscientist at Oxford, calls the slippery slope. In a study, he found that the amygdala, which is active when one initially lies, responds less and less with each passing lie. What begins with a small act of dishonesty can escalate, says Dr. Garrett, leading him to think that the brain generates less of an emotional response each time we lie. And that enables more dishonesty. When the reckoning came, all the lies had been let out, and it snapped. There was nothing to do but think and be still, sad and sorry. I have a different relationship with honesty these days. Keep the lying taut and hew to the truth. And yet the memory and consequences of dishonesty lingers in custody calendars and self-flagellations. There's a part of me still lost. Do all liars fare as I did? These three men, each in his own way, have wrestled with truth, found themselves adrift, and had to find home. The answer they discovered, and I continue to discover, is that, to be honest, is hard. First, I had to lie for a living. 2 years, starting 2001, Special Agent J. Bird Dobbins infiltrated the Hells Angels in Arizona. His work resulted in numerous convictions for members of the gang. I lied to make a living, and I became very good at it. My lie was that I was a jailbird Davis, gun-running, debt-collecting hitman. My truth, that I was actually J. Dobbins, a federal agent, was lying to some of the most dangerous cats on the planet. With every lie I told them that they believed, I gained a little more trust and loyalty. In some cases, I gained love. Had no doubt these violent, intimidating people would have stood in between me and a bullet. But if the people I was deceiving learned they were being lied to, they were going to put a baseball bat at the back of my head or a razor on my throat. My lies were life and death lies. The downside was that I put a huge amount of battle damage on my family. I became addicted to lying. I lied to everybody about everything. I became so consumed with being a liar that I turned into who I was instead of what I did. Every time I told a lie, and it was successful, believed, and received, it empowered me to lie more. I was not a good father. I was not a good husband. I did not take any pride in that. It's humiliating and embarrassing for me to speak about. My justification was I was doing what I needed to do in order to stay alive in the environment I was in. 7 years ago, I retired. It took me a while to transition out of that lifestyle. I didn't stop lying cold turkey, but I began to write my stories down. I found it was easier to be honest, since the page doesn't judge me. When I knew these stories would become a book with my real name attached, I realized I couldn't be counterfeit, or I'd be called out. And so the process of finding Jay and letting go of Bird really began. I've made a million mistakes. Between God and my wife and my kids, I've been given a million and one second chances. Next, I didn't want to be both ruined and a rat. The year after Floyd Landis was declared the winner of the 2006 Tour de France, he was stripped of his title, having tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs. He contested the results, but in 2010, finally admitted to doping and implicating his teammate Lance Armstrong. I think of myself as always having been an honest person. When I started using PEDs in cycling, no one was paying attention. Oh, just some guy who helped other people win. But in 2006, I won the Tour de France, and everything changed. That's the thing. When you start lying, you don't think about the thousands of ways events will develop, pulling you deeper and deeper into the lie. What's more, and this isn't a justification, is that I was surrounded by people all doing the same thing, telling the same story that they didn't use PEDs. We all knew they did. When the test results were positive, I knew I was screwed. I couldn't say yes, I did use PEDs, and it would be fine. So instead I chose to keep the code of silence. I was ruined, but I didn't want to be both ruined and a rat. I kept lying, and that weighed on me for years. Every time I lied to friends, fans, and my family. Finally, in 2010, when it became clear I would never cycle professionally again, the incentive was gone. As soon as I started telling the truth about doping, it was a tremendous relief. Of course, the feeling of relief was tempered by the foreknowledge, accurate as it turned out, that Lance and the rest of the cyclists who wanted the story to die would go after me. I realized that the community for which I had fallen on my sword didn't have my back at all. I know that to most of the people, my name forever be associated with cheating. All of my achievements will have an asterisk. All those years grinding it out against incredible pain, alone on the road, are wiped out. There was a time when I felt a sense of unfairness about all that. If you're consumed by the ideas of unfairness, it's everywhere you look. You drive a car, get a flat tire, have an accident, and die. Well, the rest of the car worked fine, except the tire. These days, I would say my relationship with honesty has evolved. I'm diligent about being both being precise and telling the truth. Well, we've run out of time for this week. There's one more profile in the article, and I'll get to it next week. As I've said, we've come to the end of the program. I've been reading Men's Health Magazine. I'm Peter Gilmore. This has been a production of Sight in the Sound Radio, Houston, Texas.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
The West Texas Blowout has been scheduled for May 22nd at the Midland County Horseshoe Amphitheater. Doors open at 3:30 p.m. Featured entertainment will be presented by Eric y su Grupo Masore, Ruben Ramos and the Mexican Revolution, Tristan Ramos, La Mafia, Los Musicales, David Lee Garza, Jay Perez, Ram Herrera, and Savannah. For tickets or more information, visit westtexasblowout.com.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. HRT and duration of hot flashes. Dear Dr. Roach, if women are prescribed a hormone replacement for hot flashes. Do the hot flashes return once the medicine is discontinued? If you take hormone replacement therapy, HRT, are you just delaying the symptoms for a while and will have to deal with hot flashes either way? CH. Answer. Hot flashes are a common symptom when women go into menopause. 60 to 80% of women will experience them. About half of women will stop having hot flashes after about 5 years. The remainder will have a longer duration. A third of women will still experience them after 10 years, and in about 10%,